In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today with my friend Arlita Winston. Many of you will remember hearing Arlita on this program telling us about how to raise children. She's done a bang-up job, I think. Arlita's the mother of five marvelous children, four very handsome sons, one very beautiful daughter. And you have how many grandchildren?
Eight.
Eight grandchildren. And she just has so much wisdom of which is practical and down to earth and applicable to all of our lives. This time, I haven't asked her to talk specifically about how to discipline children. You may have remembered that wonderful story of her putting her little son Brad on a high stool and looking him straight in the eye and speaking in a very quiet voice when he had torn up one of his books. Well, what we'd like to talk about today and maybe for the next several days is learning to trust God in the midst of great difficulties, fear. Arlita, your parents took you and your sister, was it, to Sumatra in 1940. Could you tell us about some of your early memories there?
Yes, I was just 6 months old when Mother and Dad took my sister, 3 years old, and myself across the ocean to join my mother's brother and his wife and three children. And the aim was to go into the jungles of Sumatra to find the Kubu people, who were an Aborigine tribe. They were a nomadic people. The men wore loincloths out of tree bark. They had white blotches all over them of scurvy. Their teeth were black from chewing betel nut. And these people were animists. And these were the ones that Mother and Dad wanted to reach with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. One generation before that, they had been cannibals, headhunters.
What is your earliest recollection? Can you tell me? I think you mentioned something last night as we were talking about this. In 1943, you said you were 3 years old, and I said, well, Arlita, surely you can't remember anything that happened when you were 3 years old?
Oh, I do. I remember playing with the monkeys. I remember pushing my little doll cart up and down in the jungles with my legs plastered with Band-Aids because I was so wanting to have sores all over me. I was wanting to be a nurse someday, and I was taking care of all the little bites on my legs, and I well remember just plastering Band-Aids all over myself.
Tell me, Arlita, would you say that there were any physical dangers that your parents might have feared when they took two little tiny girls into a situation like that?
Well, the one that comes to my mind immediately is the time when my sister Andrea was dying of a fever, and of course there was no medical help anywhere nearby, and so I would imagine that Mother and Dad's fears were very often in this area. This one particular night when it seemed certain that Andrea would die, they spent their night on their knees just crying out to God to save their little girl. And at one point in the middle of the night, the Lord spoke to their hearts and said, I wish that you were this concerned about my other children who are dying without hope. And with that, Mother and Dad began realizing that they needed to start praying around the world for those other children of God who needed the Savior. And for hours then, they began praying right around the world for those that they knew, for the Kubus themselves that they were hoping to meet in the jungles, to teach them about the love of God and how God had broken the power of death. You see, these people were consumed with the fear of death. They were devil worshipers. And they were wanting to bring them the good news that God had delivered them from the power of death. And so that night, Mother and Dad cried out to God for his other children. And as the sun rose, they realized that they had spent the entire night in prayer, and they remembered little Andrea and wondered if she had died in the night. And they ran to her room, and the fever had broken, and she was on her road to recovery that very morning.
That's a very graphic story of parents' trust. I'm sure that we have got lots of parents listening to us today, Arlita, and their fears are not for tigers and pythons and savage people in this country, but what would you say to parents right now who, for example, are scared to death of what's going to happen to their children when they start going to public school?
I think, first of all, there isn't too much they can do outside of being on their knees, talking to the God who does know what their child is going to go through. You can't be there with your child in the midst of that danger. There is no way you can follow your child through his experiences. But there is one way that our God, who is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-compassionate, all-loving, this God is watching over our children, and we can meet with him, talking to him about the children. I often say I went through my days on my knees. And I think as we talk about these situations to our Lord, then he is able to calm our fears.
Now, you learned this kind of trust from your parents, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Did you tell me that was it your aunt that died? Was that in Sumatra?
Yes.
You were talking about your Uncle Hubert's wife, right?
Yes, Aunt Helen. Now, my mother's name is also Helen, so there were the two Helens out there in the jungles with Uncle Hubert Mitchell, and my father, David Morkin. And they had three children, and Mother and Dad had the two. And Aunt Helen was giving birth to her fourth, and she died very shortly after the birth of little Jean Marie.
Was this in the jungle?
Right, in the jungles.
Was there a doctor around?
I don't remember how close the doctor was. I would have to check on that, but I know it wasn't real close, and she didn't have proper medical care right there, and she died in the childbirth.
What did Uncle Hubert do then with four children? Did the baby survive?
Well, the baby survived, and so now this left mother with six children under 9 years old.
Your mother.
With a newborn. But the thing that I'm remembering is what I've heard about the funeral. And you have to imagine a village full of Mohammedans or people who worship the devil and who are animists, who were looking on these two little families bearing their loved one. And the picture I have from my memory is that open grave where Aunt Helen was lowered down into the grave. And Uncle Hubert had asked my parents to sing the song that he had written. He had put music to Annie Johnson Flint's poem, "He Giveth More Grace." And this had been years ago that he had seen this poem on the wall of a pastor's home and had gone straight to the piano, and God just gave him the music, and he sat down and played the music that many of us are familiar with. And Uncle Hubert had asked Mother and Dad to sing this at the funeral. So there at the graveside, they sang this song, "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied sorrows, his multiplied peace. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." And before Mother and Dad went on to the second verse, Uncle Hubert joined them, just threw his arms around Dad, And the three of them stood there with tears streaming down their cheeks and singing this: "When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's own giving is only begun. His love has no limits, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundaries known unto men, for out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again." And I understand that many from that village accepted Jesus into their hearts as a result of that death, and as a result of seeing the victory over death that Mother and Dad and the rest of the family had.
I was just talking with a friend of mine who had lost her husband quite recently, and she was really baffled by the fact that she was the only person that wasn't crying at the funeral. And she wanted to ask me if I had any explanation for that, and I had had exactly the same experience at the funerals of both of my husbands, that everyone else seemed to be dissolved in tears, and I was not even tempted to cry. There were other times when I did cry, of course, but at the funeral, I was the one who wasn't crying. And it came to me then, when the person needs more grace, then the person receives more grace. And the person at a funeral who needs the most grace is the widow. So she was the one that got it. So I just shared this with my friend, and I said, "I think that's the explanation." And she said, "Well, thank you for that." She said, "I really think that people were assuming that I really didn't care. We sorrow, but it's not as others who have no hope. I think our time's up this time, Arlita, and tomorrow I certainly want you to carry on with what happened next in Sumatra." Arlita Winston has been with me. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.